Chapter 49. Outside Sutterdam. To Thalen's relief, in the morning, Dwinny took charge of the injured, hiding in the cowshed. Her satchel held needle and thread, unguents, willow bark tincture, and milk of the poppy. She sewed up the unconscious archer's thigh first. He'd lost so much blood, but they hoped that he would survive. The scout, Warith, had a wide smile, a high forehead, and curly hair. He stood a tad shorter than Thalen, but his muscular frame stretched more broadly. He sat still while Dwinny sewed up the pike gash on his calf, and though he pressed his lips together, he told Thalen and Kodek to keep going as they fashioned a splint for his broken arm.
"Thanks, fellas. Whoa, that feels more secure."
Thalen tied a neck drape around Warith's neck as a sling so he could rest his bad arm.
"You know, I think I heard your name on the battlefield. Do you own a white mare?"
"Rosie?"
"Yeah? How do you know about Rosie?"
Warith and Thalen marvelled over the coincidence of Thalen finding his white mare.
"She was always a little skittish, that one. My captain sent me south scouting for the Oros, only I ran into a forward squat. Got my wound there. Took a pike to the leg." "How'd you break your arm?"
"I tried to tie my drape around my calf, and I lost my balance and fell off. Rosie hightailed it out of the woods and deserted me."
Dwinny smeared her unguents on every wound she could find. Though she gave the archer with the leg wound milk of the poppy, she made the others take willow bark drops. Thalen had not even realised how much his head ached from the horse's kick until the medicine ameliorated the throb. Dwinny said the only remedy to try for Hake was to sit him in the cold stream. If his back was merely bruised, the swelling might subside. They left him there until his legs turned bluish, but no sensation returned. At mid-afternoon, Thalen called them all to council.
"We need food. We need to find out what is going on back in Sutterdam. Dwinny wants fresh bandages. I propose that Ikaz and I try to sneak into town for supplies and information."
"I could go," Kodek offered, "but your fighting skills are better deployed guarding the wounded. And Ikaz and I have lived in Sutterdam for years and know our way around well."
Kodek grunted assent. Oros on stolen horses rode in every direction on the major roads, so Ikaz and Thalen crept through cover on a parallel line. When they got close to Sutterdam, they hid in a gulch until night fell. In the distance, they could see dozens of small fires raging.
"Fucking Oros sure love their fires," muttered Ikaz, rubbing his dark beard. "Where are we going? Oros will have gathered all the food from the markets and they'll probably be watching the major bridges."
"We will break into some homes," said Thalen,
who had never stolen anything before in his life. The modest cottages on the outskirts of town had already been thoroughly ransacked by hungry invaders. Thalen and Ikaz snuck toward the centre of Sutterdam, where the lodgings bunched closer together. Ikaz kicked in the door of one quiet house, but the owners had evacuated, taking all foodstuffs with them. They tried another with the same result, though Thalen scrounged pieces of clean linen that held promise as bandages. They were about to force the back door of the third when a tiny old woman holding a fire poker over her head jerked the door open. When she saw they were free staters, she let them in. Though they judged it risky to light a lantern, she fixed them tisane in the dark while she packed a basket with all the provisions she had in her larder.
"Do you know what's going on?"
Thalen asked avidly.
"Where are the Oros? Where are they holding their prisoners?"
The ancient lady knew nothing. Thalen and Ikaz were the first people she had seen since the battle.
"Why didn't you evacuate?"
Ikaz asked her.
"And let those invaders drive me out of the house I've lived in for years? The house we built with our own hands? Couldn't do that." "Do you have kin here?" she asked.
Ikas had sent his wife and daughters to Jigat, but Thalen told her how much he worried about his family at Sutterdam Pottery.
Well, then, I'll just pop down to Hartling's place and find out what's what. Bought my milk jug there and my oil jar, too. You men have another cup of tisane, and I'll be back in a tick.
It's too dangerous for you to go abroad.
Pshaw! No one will bother with an old woman. Can't hide under my bed forever. Feel kind of shamed for staying under cover for so long.
And she tottered off, carrying a shaded lantern, before they could talk sense into her. Ikas and Thalen waited in the small, unlit house. How long had she been gone? Surely she should be back by now. Had she been captured? After an anxious interval, they heard lightweight feet returning round the back door. When the door opened to Ikas standing guard with the poker, Thalen saw that the homeowner had brought Norling with her. Norling hugged Thalen tightly and wiped her tears with her apron.
Your brother's? She asked. I'm hiding Hake, Thalen said, quickly adding. He's injured, but he'll live. Harthen.
Thalen could not say the words. Norling put her hand on his mouth and nodded.
I heard that your father lives, she told him in return. The Oros gathered him up with the other captives and locked them all in the shipping hall. No one has said he's hurt, and I think they would have mentioned that if he were.
But your mother? Norling took a breath.
Soldiers broke into the factory and Jorinda. I tried to help her, Thalen, but I wasn't strong enough. They pushed me away. And she screamed and fought, so I think she'd done it on purpose, like to make them kill her quickly. And this one Oro got so angry he pulled out his dagger.
Thalen buried his face on the table and cried, while Norling pulled her apron over her face and wept again too, hugging his shoulders from behind. At first, the homeowner made soothing, sympathetic noises. But after a few moments, she got angry and slapped them both on the back of their heads.
There's no time for this grieving now, she hissed at them. The living's got to live. You've got to be made of tougher clay. You've got hungry folk and wounded soldiers waiting for you. Norling, show what you brought from the pottery.
His aunt had grabbed Thalen's rucksack, a string bag of food, and a handful of coin.
Thalen, don't come home, she said. Mother Relia here says she'll help me. I'll find out about Hartling's condition and I'll bury your mother. Don't come home while this filth holds our city. I'm counting on you to stay free and safe and look after Hake.
On the way out the back door, both Ikas and Thalen solemnly kissed Relia's and Norling's foreheads. Laden down with their burdens, they headed back out into the night. Then, by starlight and fire shadows, they hurried back to their pasture. The group of survivors stayed one more day in the cowshed. The pasture belonged to a dairy farm northwest of Sutterdam. The rambling stone farmhouse and barn, both deserted, stood a short way from their hiding place. They relocated on the second day after the battle, as soon as night covered their movements. Abandoned barn cats pestered them with frantic meows until Warith figured out they needed water pumped into the trough. Although Hake's paralysis had not changed, due to Dwinny's care, the rest of the wounded began to recover. The archer with the vicious leg wound rose to semi-consciousness, too weak to talk but able to swallow broth. The chatty lad, Tristo, turned out to have a flair with food, and if others helped with any task that required two working hands, he turned the edibles cadged from Sutterdam, mixed with foraging in the farm's garden and larder, into decent meals. Hake and Thalen stayed close to one another, finding a modicum of comfort in proximity in the ground floor common room, but they avoided talking about family or anything else. Images of Harthen dead in his arms. Images he did not want to share with Hake plagued Thalen.
At least I never have to tell Mater about Hake's injury or Harthen's death. The news would have killed her if the Oros hadn't.
When not needed, Thalen took refuge in a book or pretended to read the pages before him, while his mind frantically ruffled through earlier volumes. Hake stared off into space, absently worrying the tatty quilt they had thrown over his legs, as if hiding the legs from his sight would hide the knowledge of their uselessness. Hoping to catch a breeze, they kept the shutters and doors agape against the summer heat. Flies from the manure pile plagued everyone. On the fourth day after the battle, the survivors, excluding the still-drugged archer, gathered around the sloping farmhouse table on crude stools, eating an evening meal. Hake, in his chair, sat at the head. The open shutters let in the early evening air, which smelled of the marigolds planted in the kitchen garden, mixed with smoke that had blown from town and funeral pyres. Tristo spoke up.
I have peas, cheese, and some greens left. We could live for a while, but this is hardly good eats.
We can't hide here forever anyway. Who's got a plan?
Ikas asked.
Yes, what's the plan, Thalen?
Asked Dwinny.
Thalen wanted to say, why are you looking at me?
He wanted to say,
my brother can run a business, or Sergeant Kodak has more experience.
But, in truth, he had been reviewing his reading, weighing their options, and working on a proposal.
You're right. We can't stay here any longer. And not just because we'll run out of food. Hiding from the Oros may keep us free, but it does nothing to liberate Vigad or the rest of the Alliance. So, what is the situation? The Oros are much stronger than us militarily. I doubt that any other country is going to come to our aid now that the Oros are entrenched in Sutterdam. We could organize those of us who escaped capture to harry them, but they might squash such resistance activities with reprisals on citizens. We are not strong enough to make them withdraw. So, they have to want to withdraw. What would do this?
Thalen turned to the scout, Warith, asking,
what did the Oromondo soldiers call themselves?
Warith frowned at such a stupid question.
The protectors?
Thalen turned to Hake, prodding,
what did the protectors protect?
Hake answered,
Oromondo. They call it the land. As if other realms don't count.
Thalen, where are you going with this?
Thalen made a patience movement with his hand.
Dwinny, if your whole purpose in life was to protect the land, what would make you withdraw from elsewhere and scurry home?
If someone attacked Oromondo, she answered.
Exactly.
Thalen allowed the thought to sink in.
So, that is what I intend to do.
Ikas broke in testily.
Are you barking mad? How are you going to get there? And with what army? You do not just walk into Oromondo.
I don't need an army. An army, actually, would be an encumbrance.
I need a lightning-fast troop, a troop able to sting and sting again.
Thalen stared off into the distance, seeing his plan, not the kitchen.
I need cavalry. We saw what cavalry can do against Oro foot soldiers. Harthen and his comrades were amazing.
Go on,
said Tristo, leaning forward on his healthy elbow.
So, I figure, 2 dozen men on good horses, striking their precious mining shipments and burning down their warship citadels, striking and fleeing, hiding and bedeviling.
Armando has always lived in fear of invaders. In fact, it is completely crazy paranoid on the subject. You bring battle to the heart of Armando, and I guarantee the Magi will call their army back.
Phelan, Hake interjected, in that school of yours, didn't they teach you the crops have failed in Armando? That is why those animals have come here to begin with.
I know. So when they return, they will bring what they can steal from the Free States, but they will go scurrying back. Even if your cupboard were bare, if you thought ruffians were invading your home, threatening your people, burning your church, you would leave off your hunting expedition and return.
But isn't Armando guarded against invasion? Asked Hake.
Yes, said Thalen. 8 watchtowers, each the home of one of their magi. I'm not sure how we'll sneak past them, but we'll find a way.
The Oros would squash such a troop like a bug. Look what they did to our whole army, said Warith the scout.
Not if we are clever and fast enough. Not if we find ingenious hideaways.
Look. The 8 of us, even wounded and without horses, have been able to escape capture. The Oros rely on brute force. They have never faced an enemy with nothing more to lose, bent on creating terror and vanishing.
Could be this attacking their homeland is a good strategy,
Warith grudgingly admitted.
But 2 dozen men, horses, weapons, food, and supplies in a barren country? How would you raise those? How would you even get there?
Thalen turned to Hake.
This is where you come in, quartermaster.
Hake thought out loud.
Obviously, first you'd need money. The horses and food would need to be bought. Men eager for revenge you could get for no cost. Free States merchants and artisans would be happy to contribute if they believed this would liberate them of these invaders that have ruined their commerce. Sutter Dam Pottery has contacts all over the Free States, the Green Isles and elsewhere. I could write to them.
He played with his fork a moment, looking down, calculating under his breath.
I could raise the funds. Easily, I'd wager. Though some folks might have to accept credit to start.
Thalen nodded.
I figure the Oros are still feasting and celebrating their victory, probably commandeering a few ships and crews to rush foodstuffs back home and thinking about solidifying their hold on the Free States. But I'd bet they haven't bothered about Yasta yet. So that is where I would muster the men. And Yasta boasts a serious port.
Thalen's voice turned dreamy.
I think sailing would be the best method of transport. Riding would take too long, and they must be guarding the causeway. Wait one moment. How are you going to get to Yasta? We know that Oros are patrolling all the main roads now. We were lucky to get here in the confusion,
said the sergeant, Kodak, who had yet to speak during this conversation, though he'd eyed Thalen intently.
Tristo traveled here by fishing boat, so I plan to go back the same way.
Turning to the wheelwright Ikas, Thalen asked,
do you know any fisher folk who could take me?
Ikas stroked his beard.
Could be, if they still live, if I can find them. If the docks aren't cordoned off, if
that's a lot of ifs. Thalen smiled.
But some of them will break in our favor.
The room fell quiet while everyone considered Thalen's proposal and the lack of other options.
It's a damn fool batch of crazy plan,
Kodak hit the table with his palm.
But I don't have another, and I'll be damned if I'll just lie down and die for those Oros. I'm in.
Tristo quickly added, me too.
Warith chimed in, aye.
Dwinny sighed,
Thalen, many folk have been injured. My skills belong here with my people. I need to get myself to one of the healing centers to tend our wounded.
Of course.
I have a wife and two young daughters here,
Ica said.
I'll not flee the country and leave them behind.
He rubbed his beard.
But, tell you what, I'll find you a fishing boat. I'll see to it that Dwinny gets safely to her healing center, along with that poor sod.
He jerked his head in the direction of the room where the drugged archer slept.
And I'll go one better. I'll make Hake here a chair with metal wheels.
Phelan turned to Hake. Neither you nor the archer are strong enough to travel or fight, but I need you here anyway. I need you to quietly spread the word, find more survivors, and send them to Yasta. Briefly, he put his hand on top of his brother's.
Hake, I can't pull this off without the funding. I don't know how.
Hake shook his head.
Just leave it to me. I may be crippled, but I'm neither helpless nor dumb.
Looking around at all of them, Phelan said,
Possibly we all know of particular people we would like to find alive and who would be right for this mission. We could give their names to those who remain in Vigat, and Hake, Ikas, and Dwinny could whisper in the right ears.
I wonder if we could find me mates, Tristo said longingly. What I wouldn't give to see their ugly pugs again. I don't even know if they lived or died,
Phelan answered.
So here is what we do. First, we write down for those who are staying the names of those we would most like to muster in Yasta. Second, we gather together what we need for the trip.
When do you plan to leave?
Ikas asked. Phelan pushed back from the table, taking a load of trenchers to the wash bucket.
When the dishes are dry, he answered.